There are times when we can connect surprisingly deeply with someone and then never see them again, a missed connection. 8 years ago, when I was a correspondent in the Middle East, I did a story about two people, an Israeli, a woman named Donna, and a Palestinian, a man named Mohammed. They met when they were teenagers at a Seeds of Peace summer camp in the late 1990s in the United States. Both had lost family in the conflict, but they became friends and kept in touch by phone. She lived in Tel Aviv. He was in Gaza. Here is Mohammed Sakhar back in 2010 when I met him.
When I was young, I started to think, okay, when I grow up, I become 25, 26, or 30. I'm becoming a leader here. She's becoming a leader there. Then we can marry, you know? So we can produce new people.
And this is a young Donna Levy.
His people are the enemy, and my people are his enemy. So we have to either decide not to let it go and just be Muhammad and Dana and that's it, or Israeli and Palestinian and that's it. Because we're supposed to hate each other, you know? But we don't. So we're just friends.
That friendship, though, has not endured the test of time and war. We caught up with both of them, and we should tell you, this is a missed connection. We could not reconnect, as you'll hear. I spoke first with Donna. We spoke in 2010, and back then you were working at a salsa club. You were single, living in Tel Aviv. So let's catch up. Tell me how life has changed for you.
So I met my partner, and we have a 2.5-year-old little redhead. And now expecting our second child. I am now working in a high-tech company. We create motion graphic animation videos for Fortune 500 companies in the United States. It's a big jump up from managing a salsa club.
So when was the last time you spoke with Mohammed?
So it's been quite a while since I've heard from him.
And did you think about him at all? Especially when during these cycles of conflicts, did you think about what may be happening?
Of course. Yeah, of course. I think about him a lot. And actually, we talk about him a lot in my family. He had a very special relationship with my father, who is actually is more conservative, like right wing. So they would have these very long conversations, political conversations on the phone that would get pretty heated at times. So yeah, he was, you know, he was a part of my life and my family knew him.
Donna, Mohammed said he doesn't want to speak with you on the air. He says he doesn't believe anymore that people who are enemies can put that aside like you used to and be just friends. What do you think about that?
I can totally understand him. I think for him it was even more difficult because I think Palestinians are living in these settlements, like in these
territories.
Yeah, and in the territories with no electricity and no water. Obviously, people are suffering. They're living hand to mouth. He is suffering more than I am, for sure. I have no doubt about it. Difficult for him to see me as the Donna that he remembers when we were just 14, and not see me as an Israeli who is causing all this pain to him and his family.
Even though you aren't speaking with him directly, do you have a message for Mohammed?
Wow, I just wish him well, and I hope his family is doing well, and his parents and his kids. I don't know how many kids he has now, but just that I hope he's doing well and just to stay safe.
Donna, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
As you heard there, Mohammed did not want to speak directly to Donna. I reached him on a scratchy phone line in Khan Yunis in the Gaza Strip. He's still an English teacher. He now has 4 children, all boys. And despite his dreams of studying abroad, he was never able to leave the Gaza Strip because of the restrictions on travel for Palestinians. He describes life in Gaza now as a catastrophe.
People here die for nothing. Israeli army and Israeli soldiers kill people daily in Gaza here. They are dying of hunger also and poverty.
He says whatever his history with Donna, he can't speak to her anymore.
I must respect my people's suffering and be with their feelings, and I cannot do this.
Since I last spoke with him, there have been two bloody confrontations between the Hamas-ruled Gaza Strip and Israel. Mohammed's children have grown up in the shadow of these wars and have suffered for it. Mohammed's oldest son has had reoccurring nightmares of a dead body he saw split in two, he says the result of an Israeli airstrike.
He was dreaming of like blood and dead people, and the dead people are moving and they want to take him.
Another son often wakes up screaming. Mohammed confesses that he has kept up with Donna discreetly on social media all these years.
I become very happy when I see that she's happy and she's fine.
But he can't help but wonder at the fate of their respective children on opposite sides of a conflict that seems like it will never end. Whenever he thinks of Donna, he can't help but think of the future of her son.
I'm afraid he will grow up one day and be an Israeli soldier and kill the innocent people here. But I love him. I love him. It's very complicated.
That was Mohammed Sakhar in Gaza and Donna Levy in Tel Aviv. If you're searching for a missed connection and you want our help, send an email or a voicemail message to weekend@npr.org.